Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Türk Telekom 2016 first quarter results call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you this conference is being recorded today on Thursday, the 21st of April, 2016. I would now like to hand you over to your speaker today, Gözde Çulaş. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our 2016 first quarter results call. Today's speakers are our CEO, Rami Aslan, and our CFO, Murat Kıkkız. Before we start, I would like to remind you kindly to review our notice in the second page of the presentation. I will now hand over the call to Rami Aslan.
Thank you, Gözde. Good afternoon and good morning to dialers from East to West Coast. Thank you for joining our call. We will run you through recent key developments, operational as well as financial highlights at the first quarter of 2016. We will start with slide number three. As you all know, in January, we undertook a giant step. We unified our mobile, fixed voice, fixed broadband, as well as TV brands under single Türk Telekom brand, enabling a very strong position, which is in line with the evolving telecommunications needs. We supported unified brand launch by a strong commercial program, and initial results are very solid. Customers want connectivity at all times and everywhere, regardless of the technology. As Türk Telekom, we took all necessary steps to address changing needs and successfully differentiated ourselves. We implemented significant initiatives to reinforce each component of our offers. Thanks to years of investments, our own fixed and mobile network enable us to deliver best-in-class converged services to our customers. Now, Türk Telekom is not only the strongest multiplayer in Turkey, but also the only operator which offers multiplay services in Turkish market under single brand from a one-stop shop. If we move to slide four on LTE launch. As of April 1, a new era started in the telecommunication, in the Turkish telecommunication sector, with the launch of LTE services. We worked extremely hard to deliver best LTE services, and we had a successful start. Our LTE population coverage is 66%. Among our smartphone users, 40% own LTE-supported devices. Prior to LTE, we introduced enriched data packages, and we will continue our focus on data plans to drive ARPU. For a complete LTE experience, a superior spectrum and a nationwide fiber are needed, and Türk Telekom, we have both. From day one, we started utilizing our nationwide fiber network to provide the best LTE experience possible. 70% of our LTE base stations are now fiber connected, a metric critical for a superior LTE experience. We own the best possible combination of mobile and fixed infrastructure to deliver best telco services in Turkey, and we are set to lead the new era with our fiber-powered LTE network. If we move to slide five, let's take an overlook at the quarter. We set solid targets for 2016 and started the year with a remarkable growth in our subscriber base, demonstrating that we are on the right track as the pioneer convergence player. Our total subscribers reached 38 million, with a net addition of 574,000 net adds during the quarter. This performance was thanks to our strength in multiplay offers, strong commercial activity, enhanced mobile coverage via the fast rollout of 3G services in U900 MHz and TV initiatives. In addition, each segment's strong performance contributed to that result, highlighting the fact that our convergence and cross-selling initiatives deliver very tangible results. Mobile subscribers reached over 17.7 million, with a robust net addition of 461,000 in Q1 alone, which is in fact the highest quarterly subscriber gain since Q2 of 2014. On broadband, 197,000 net adds realized this quarter is as high as the net adds during high season quarters. We had 587,000 net adds in the past 12 months. This is the highest annual increase since 2009. Home TV subscribers reached 468,000 with a record quarterly net adds of 83,000 subscribers. The number of the total TV subscribers exceeded 1.9 million at the end of the quarter. Moreover, the total access lines increased to 13 million in Q1 after stabilizing at 12.9 during the last three quarters, and that is thanks to our multi-play synergy offers. Slide 6. You'll see our financial performance in Q1 of 2016. We started the year with a very strong top-line growth of 11%. This is the fastest pace of organic growth since the IPO in 2008. 3.8 billion Turkish lira revenue is a record first quarter revenue realized. Q1 2016 EBITDA at 1.3 billion TL is in line with our plans. In Q1, we incurred commercial and personnel expenses above normalized levels, which impacted EBITDA of the quarter. These expenses are strategic for our future growth and within the guidance. Murat will run you through the details of the financial section, but in Q1 net income was 4.8 million Turkish lira, while CapEx was 408 million Turkish lira, while CapEx was 708 million Turkish lira. Our Q1 CapEx is higher compared to previous year's first quarters. LTE rollout was, of course, the main driver of this increase, and this is completely in line with our plans. Slide 7. In our high-growth businesses, we continue to deliver very solid results. Accordingly, the share of high-growth areas increased to 74% of our total revenue base from 71% last year. Our multi-product offers had a positive impact on our fixed line performance, and the decline in fixed voice business also decelerated to 8%. Slide 8. We have a very strong position when it comes to multi-play products. Each component of our product line provides superior performance to our customers. The fact that we are able to provide this in the most convenient way puts us in a very solid position to reinforce our leadership. Slide 9. Here you will see how diversified our subscriber portfolio is. This puts us well ahead of competitors. Additionally, each product line has high ARPU contribution, and we have been offering our customers the complete range of fixed voice, mobile, data, TV, and broadband services for years and have made significant investments and initiatives to enhance our services. The variety of our customers and service base gives us a very unique position in the convergence world. Slide 10. I'd like to discuss the broadband performance. Subscriber side, we added a net of 197,000 broadband subscribers in Q1 alone. This is a remarkable performance in a typically low season for the year. Number of the fiber subscribers exceeded 1.6 million, with a quarterly net add of 168,000, the highest quarterly net add since 2013. This performance extends our leadership in fiber, and our broadband ARPU continue to increase in Q1. Slide 11. Upselling continued in full speed in Q1. We continue our focus on upsell and comfortably offer higher usage quotas and speeds to our customers thanks to our well-established network. Demand for higher fare usage quotas accelerated in Q1. Now the share of above 50 gigs fair gigabytes. Fair usage package makes 36% of the total base, a 10 percentage point year on year, and a 5 percentage point quarter over quarter. At the same time, upsell for higher speed continued. The share of up to 60 megabit per second packages on FiberNet or HyperNet reached to 77% of our base compared to 59% a year ago. Demand for higher capacity is set to remain high, and fixed network offers the most efficient technology to deliver high capacity. As the convergent player, we are in the best position to address growing data demand on both fixed as well as mobile. Moving on to slide 12. Fiber network is extremely critical for the operators to serve the most advanced telecom services, and Turk Telecom has by far the largest fiber network installed in the whole country. As of Q1, the total length of our fiber network reached 214,000 kilometers. The total number of fiber home passes increased to 12.4 million. This is an area where we are by far the leader. We cover almost 60% of households with our fiber network. Our quarterly fiber net adds accelerated, reaching 168,000 versus 65,000 net gain during the same period last year. In the first quarter of 2016, our fiber subscribers exceeded 1.6 million, by far the highest figure in the market. On slide 13, we move to the mobile performance. Total mobile subscriber base rose to 17.7 million as of Q1 with 461,000 net adds. In December, we started utilizing our new capacity in 900 megahertz band, converting our historic disadvantage to an advantage. This reflected positively on net adds. Not only subscriber base, but also ARPU grew in Q1 as we leveraged on growth in data demand as well. Our mobile ARPU increased by 8% year-on-year to 24 Turkish lira, driven by both prepaid and postpaid segments. As you know, we have the highest spectrum per subscriber ratio in the market, which highlights our growth prospects clearly. Slide 14. You see 33% of our mobile service revenues came from mobile data. Average monthly data usage per subscriber accelerated during this quarter and reached 1.5 gigabytes. Increasing smartphone penetration sets the stage for higher data consumption. We continue to lead the market with 68% smartphone penetration. The level of postpaid subscribers is another trigger for data growth, as they are heavy data users and our postpaid ratio stood at 50%. We expect postpaidization trend to continue, and our strength in data reflected to 33 or one-third of our data revenue and 8% ARPU growth in Q1 16. With LTE, we'll continue to leverage our strength in data offers and our fiber-powered LTE network. Slide 15. Our years of investment in TV business, crowned by the acquisition of the UEFA Champions and Europa League broadcasting rights last year, put us in a very strong position. TV became a key component of our multiplay offers under a single brand of Türk Telekom. In the first quarter, we continued to leverage TV subscriber base with an accelerated pace of growth. The subscriber gain accelerated in line with our enhanced content transition to dual delivery platform and increased focus on cross-selling. Specifically, in Q1, we added 83,000 net adds, net home TV subscribers, a record quarterly net add. We have 468,000 home TV subscribers, and the number of total TV subscribers exceeded 1.9 million. Equally importantly, ARPU generation from home TV business is further improving. It is Turkish lira 20.4, which demonstrates TV is a real revenue-generating business for Türk Telekom. Next slide. That's slide 16 on fixed voice dynamics. As you see on the chart, after stabilizing at 12.9 million during the last three quarters, the total access lines increased to 13 million in Q1 thanks to our multi-play synergy offers and third-party benefits. Meanwhile, fixed voice ARPU remained robust at 21 Turkish lira. Slide 17 on corporate data. The corporate data business, with its high growth performance, continue to support our group revenues. Corporate data revenues, making 11% of our top line, accelerated further and reached 429 million Turkish lira with 35% year-on-year growth. Corporate customers and mobile operators' demand for the next generation fixed access is growing exponentially. We will continue to support their business with our complete set of telecom solutions, including advanced data products and ICT capabilities. I'll now hand over the call to Murat for the review on financials.
Thank you, Rami. Good afternoon and good morning, everyone. I'm on page 19, and on the left you would see the revenue graph. On revenue front, we had an excellent start to 2016. Our group revenues increased by 10.7% year-on-year, up by 367 million Turkish lira. We reported record first quarter revenue of 3.8 billion Turkish lira in Q1 16, thanks to solid performance of all business lines. Excluding non-operational IFRIC adjustments, top line growth peaked at 10.8% year-on-year. On the right graph, EBITDA, during the first quarter, we strategically invested in our business. On the back of that, EBITDA declined by 5.1% year-on-year to 1.3 billion, and EBITDA margin was 33%. We implemented an early retirement incentive program during Q1 as part of our continuous focus on operational efficiency. This program had approximately 35 million Turkish lira of negative impact on personnel expenses in the quarter. Yet this will enable cost savings in the subsequent quarters. Excluding impact of this incentive program, adjusted EBITDA margin would be 1% point higher. Additionally, we had an intense advertising and marketing activities associated with the brand unification and LTE launch. The substantial increase in gross adds was another driver of increase in commercial expenses, while the benefits will realize over the lifetime of the customers. As you would recall, last year commercial expenses were skewed towards the second half, so there is also a base impact on year-over-year comparisons. All these expenses are strategic for sustainable future growth and are within the guidance. On the left bottom, you would see the evolution of the net income. The net income grew substantially in Q1 to 408 million from 27 million in 2015. Favorable FX environment in the first quarter reinforces net income growth, and that has been negative in 2015. D&A expenses increase due to growth in the asset base as well as the investment to the intangible assets like license. In the first quarter, to reduce the currency exposure, we hold a higher portion of our cash in hard currency, which resulted in a decrease in the interest income. Moving to free cash flow on the right, you would see that we continue to deliver a strong and growing cash flow in Q1 2016. Our last 12 months adjusted unlevered free cash flow before license fees is increased by 5% to 2.5 billion Turkish lira. I'm moving to page 20, which we give more color on the revenue growth and the EBITDA evolution. The robust revenue growth at 11% was mainly driven by 14% increase in mobile, 35% increase in corporate data, and 9% increase in the broadband revenues. And the decline in the fixed revenues was limited to 8%. Growth in the rest of the business was also strong at 18%, as a result of growth in subsidiaries, sales triggered by accelerated subscriber growth, price increase, and upselling to fiber. A considerable rise of $367 million in revenues had a positive impact on the EBITDA. Variable expenses was up by 26%, and this is above the revenue growth, mostly due to the change in the revenue mix. We incurred higher personnel and commercial expenses due to our strategic investments, which increased our fixed costs. These expenses increase are in line with our EBITDA guidance. I am moving to page 21. Here, I would like to highlight the changes in our unlevered free cash flow during the last 12 months. We generated about 125 million Turkish lira higher free cash flow in the first quarter compared to the previous year. This excluding the license fee payment. Our cash capex increased by 568 million to 2.7 billion, excluding license fees, primarily driven by the accelerated mobile rollout. As you might remember, in 2015, we particularly focused on working capital management and launched a supply chain financing program, and this program enables an extension of the payment terms. Support of this program helped to improve our working capital by 329 million Turkish lira in the last 12 months. As well, we paid 329 million Turkish lira lower taxes as last year's income was lower than 2014 due to the FX losses. We paid about 55 million related to the 10% acquisition of the Avaya shares. All in all, underlying free cash flow exceeded 2.5 billion. End of the quarter, we hold a very strong cash position at 4.6 billion Turkish lira, and 77% of the cash at hand is in hard currency, which is sufficient to cover the short-term hard currency liabilities of our company for the next 12 months. I'm on page 22nd. We maintain the leverage steady at 1.68, which is well below the global peers. Average maturity of the debt is sustained at 3.5 years in Q1. And on the risk management side, on the right of the graph, you can see the currency breakdown of our debt before and post the risk management initiatives. Starting from early 15, we made significant steps to reduce our net FX exposure, and we continue to utilize cross-currency swaps to manage our currency exposure. In addition to the previous cross-currency swaps on the $1 billion Eurobond, we swapped, in additionally, $380 million further to euros, and additionally $175 million from dollars to Turkish lira. We now have a more balanced currency mix of our total debt. As of Q1, 38% of our adjusted debt is in dollars, 48% is in euros, and 14% is in Turkish lira. Also, as I mentioned, FX portion of our cash increased from 19% in Q1 2015 to 77% in Q1 2016. I now hand the call back to Rami.
Thank you, Murat. Moving to the next slide, slide 23 on guidance. Before completing the presentation section, one last word on the guidance. We completed the first quarter with solid performance and in line with our targets. At this point, I'd like to reiterate our 2016 guidance. Based on our first quarter results, we are comfortable with our guidance set at the beginning of this year. Our targets are 7-9% adjusted revenue growth, 5.5 to 5.7 billion Turkish lira EBITDA, and around 3.2 billion Turkish lira of consolidated capex. We are now ready to answer your question. Thank you very much.
Okay, we can take the name now. You can open the session. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad now. And your first question comes from Roman Arbuzov. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my question. I've got a couple on the guidance and then one strategic question. So on the guidance on both EBITDA and the revenues, firstly on the EBITDA, given the weakish start to the year, this implies that you need to be delivering something like mid-teens EBITDA growth in the second half of 2016. So just wanted to get your thoughts on how realistic this quite a strong acceleration is, do you think, in your view? And then within that question, if you could please provide us additional color on the commercial costs, how that will phase out during the year. And then on the revenue guidance, again, given the strong start to the year and given that we haven't really seen the 4G effect kick in, doesn't your revenue guidance now look conservative? And is there any particular lines of business segments that you see potentially slowing down as the year progresses? And then the strategic question I was talking about is on the infrastructure sharing. So what do you think are the prospects of infrastructure sharing in Turkey, and what potential form do you think this potential cooperation between the market players can take? And is there a real risk, in your view, of structural separation?
Thank you, Roman. Just taking down the last question. So forms and risks, right? Okay. Let me start with the guidance related to EBITDA. We are very confident with our EBITDA guidance. Accelerated growth will translate into higher EBITDA in the coming quarters once the intense commercial activities period is over. Operational efficiencies and economies of scale will also support our EBITDA growth. On the commercial costs, let me just tell you a little bit about our commercial costs, because I'm sure that will be a question that might be repeated. First of all, this is part of the plan. So in Q1, our plan was exactly what you have seen on the commercial costs, and there was no diversion of it. We had a very successful rebranding effort. I am very proud of the team and the team achievements when it came to our rebranding. In the night of the 26th of January, we were able to actually rebrand ourselves overnight. All our shops, everything we do in our lives was transformed in 24 hours or maybe 12 hours overnight, where we have started to operate under our new unified and successful, highly successful brand. In terms of positioning of our brand, I'm also very happy and very comfortable that we are today the leading the 4.5G era under this unified brand, and we have positioned our brand extremely well. And I believe that all our commercial costs and commercial efforts were money well spent, and that where money will that will have a great impact on our story, our growth, on our positioning, and on the new brand's power going forward as well. Now, if we look at the commercial costs, maybe in a little bit more details, the main reasons for the decline in the margins in the first quarter are really I'd say the commercial and the personnel. So, you know, let's look at both together. In Q1, we witnessed major initiatives, like I mentioned, the brand unification. We also had the LTE launch, and that increased our also advertising expenses. And that commercial spending is very much within the budget, and the commercial expense to sales ratio, we expect it to decrease in the next three quarters. But overall, we are very confident that we will remain within the annual budget, and that is why we are confident with our guidance. We had also very solid net adds in the mobile, broadband, TV, which increased the acquisition costs, and the benefits will spread over the lifetime of the new customers. And I would also say that if you compare our commercial costs year on year in particular, there's a base effect impact there, because last year the commercial expenses were skewed in the second half of the year, and this year we expect it to be a little bit heavier in the first half of the year because of all the commercial activities that I have mentioned. I'd like to also mention the incentive program that we did for a retirement incentive program for personnel expense, which will enable us really, it's a one-off, and it will enable us really to have cost savings in the next few quarters as well, and the impact will be recovered easily. So net-net, I would like to say that we have three brands. We phased out of the two brands, Avea and TDNet. We had to spend commercially money very well spent. I'm very happy of the outcome, and we are confident that this combined spending will, you know, under one brand will be saved gradually within that one unified brand. And as I mentioned, this was the plan. We have not diverged from our own plans, and that is why we are confident to achieve the guidance. On the revenue question, revenue guidance, I believe it's a little bit premature, so we'd like to see how we fare in Q2, and then we will, you know, give an update on that guidance. But I will say that I'll be comfortable to say that we are expecting to reach at least the top end of the guidance. So on the revenue side, so I'm quite satisfied with how we started the year and kicked off this this year with this solid revenue growth for the first quarter. Strategically, on the infrastructure sharing, let me tell you a few things. First of all, the market structure today is, you know, or let me say maybe in general, a market structure with infrastructure-based competition supporting new infrastructure deployment and broadband penetration increase is definitely healthy. And if we look at markets, for example, like South Korea, Japan, the U.S., where there's infrastructure-based competition, these are among the world leaders in terms of average download speed, FTTX coverage, etc. If we compare to nations with a common wholesale or a structurally separate network like New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, they really lag behind in both categories, the download speed and the FTTX coverage as well. We've seen a few independent studies on the high-speed broadband highlights, highlighting that the issue regarding high-speed broadband penetration is more in Turkey, is more related to demand than it is for supply. If you look at our market in the fixed broadband coverage in Turkey is 98% of premises at the entry level, 66% at high speed, and 42% at ultra fast speed. This is at par with, or maybe better than, the EU15 averages that stand at 97% versus our 98%, 55% versus our 66%, and at par with ultra-fast speed. We also provide wholesale access to our infrastructure to all operators in line with all relevant rules and regulations, and the essential regulations like duct sharing, co-location, LLU, subloop, unbundling, and Bitstream are all in place. So this said, I believe that there are good areas of cooperation, which we welcome to explore, both in the fixed and the mobile space, and specifically in rural areas or areas that need more infrastructure, and these can make sense to all of us, and we welcome that, and we are exploring how we can, you know, improve our infrastructure accordingly. Thank you, Roman.
Thank you very much.
And your next question comes from Ivan Kim. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions from our side, please. Firstly, on the mobile prices, so your voice revenue has accelerated to almost 11% year on year. And I was just wondering what was the driver behind that. Have you been raising prices maybe? And then secondly, on your advertising and rebranding campaign in the first quarter, can you elaborate maybe a little more on what you have been doing whether there were any major promotions during the quarter, and probably where it leads basically is whether you think you'd have the net additions as strong as you had in the first quarter for the remainder of the year across business segments. Thank you.
Thank you, Ivan. I'd like to introduce Hakan Dursun. Many of you know him. He actually recently took the role of CMO for our consumer segment, and Hakan is here with us. He's been, of course, with us for a long time as a chief strategy officer, but he took over the role of CMO for consumer. So I'd like to introduce him, and maybe he can answer both questions on the mobile prices as well as maybe advertising and revenues, or I can take that. I'm flexible.
Sure. So my name is Hakan Dursun. I was previously taking care of strategy and business development functions. I have been recently appointed as the chief marketing officer for the consumer segment. So basically, on the mobile prices, as you know, we have been running on a major disadvantage for a long period of time because of lack of frequency. With the tender that took place last year, we were able to come to a fair competitive position. Given our strength in terms of leading the market and having the strongest subscriber base, given our strength in terms of unifying our sales channels and bringing all our propositions in a single stop-shop concept, given the power of our brands being unified under a new and the strongest brand in Turkey, of course, we are seeing a lot of traction in the market, and we have been the preferred operator for many years already in the mobile business, but that preference is even increasing further. And together with this, we are seeing a good traction both in terms of increase in our subscriber base and also increase in our ARPU, the revenue we are generating from our subscribers. So as a result of both, we are seeing a significant increase in our revenues in the mobile business, also mobile voice business. So that's for question number one. Question number two, as you know, there were major developments in the market. As we are leading the market, the activities we have been undertaking in the first quarter was also shaping the market. Two of them, basically, to mention, is our new brand. Basically, we have launched our new brand, as you know, and that new brand launch is being the main enabler for all our future activities for the coming term. So we were positioning our new brand and what this new brand means for our customers in our advertising as well. We were equally focusing on the specific business proposals on the broadband side, on the mobile side, and on the voice side as well, together with TV. So these were the main components, and recently, as you know, there is this LTE launch. So as a preparation to LTE launch, there was also a hype and promotions in the market for mobile data stimulation.
Okay, thank you.
And your next question comes from Mitch Resnick. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. I have two. The first one is on the cost saves that you said would be coming in the next couple of quarters. Are you prepared to sort of quantify what those are? And the second question is regarding financing plans for 16. Just curious to know if you have any desire to enter the bond market, given how much it's rallied year to date, if it's suddenly becoming more attractive as a place to raise debt capital. Thank you.
I will pass both questions to Murat, or if you want to start with the second, I can do the first. As you like.
So for 2016 funding needs, we secured most of the financing needs back in 2015 for 2016 debt service and CAPEX. So all our CAPEX contracts, we have ECA facilities and IFIs that secure the funding needs of the company for funding its CAPEX investments, and as well the debt service of the company. So in addition to this, the company is generating very strong cash flows, and we have about 1.1 billion in hard currency to service the license payments and other hard currency liabilities that may occur throughout the course of business. So we don't anticipate to tap to market in 2016. However, for the upcoming years, we believe that we would be a regular player in the DCM domain, although not a frequent one.
Okay, thank you.
What was the first question?
And then on the cost saves, if you're prepared to quantify the cost saves that you expect.
Well, I mean, to be frank, I mean, we don't usually give guidance on cost savings, but what we can tell you is that we can give you a long-term guidance on EBITDA, and maybe I'll just touch a little bit on, just to give you a feel on our cost savings. I mean, as I mentioned, when it comes to personnel, we had a one-time cost in Q1, and we expect to recover that cost. So this is very much in line with our plans, and we see a small upside there. And in terms of the commercial costs, as I mentioned, we've done, a mega rebranding for our company and our group. And clearly, we want to make sure that this is communicated very properly across the entire country for all our customers and, the entire population. So that is not a small effort at all. And phasing out of the two brands is also very important to ensure that this communication is very effective and is powerful. So in that sense, these two one-offs are quite significant. Also, there's the preparation for LTE, etc. But what I can tell you also very happily is that positioning our brand with the new era in mobile, as well as our quad play and multiplay, and our one-stop shop, etc., was also critical and timely in Q1. So there was extensive commercial efforts there, and that is as we planned. I mean, this was the plan for us is to do this in January, February, and March, and this was, I believe, extremely successful. The impact of positioning our brand has been phenomenal, and the market realizes that our brand and our company is leading all the businesses that we are in. So this is very critical for us, and we believe it was very, very effective, and very happy with the early momentum that we're seeing in Q1.
So may I chip in?
Sure.
This is Rami. Thank you for the explains. Basically, what is happening in Q1 as a hiccup of the commercial costs and the good cause of those spending. While on the long run, we have structured OPEX reduction program to optimize the network, IT costs, cost of serving to the customer, and to deliver those in a most cost-efficient way. while the fixed costs, you can observe that apart from the one-off impacts and the commercial and variable costs, the fixed cost base had increased barely around 4%, which is half of the inflation figures.
Well, thanks, Mark. Maybe I'll just... since we give long-term guidance, I mean, as I said, we will not give you guidance or will not change the guidance, but I'll be very, very unhappy if we end up with the lower end of the guidance on EBITDA. So, all these efforts that we're putting in cost efficiencies, synergies, etc., that we expect to materialize in the next three quarters are on plan. Some are a bit earlier than plan. And the extra costs that we incurred here are also on plan, and they were not over our plan. So these two elements are really critical to highlight. That's why I'd be very disappointed if we end up at the lower end of the range for EBITDA guidance.
Okay, that's
Thanks.
Perfect. Thank you very much. It's perfect.
And your next question comes from Hervé Drouet. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Two questions as well on my side. The first one is back to the margins, and especially the fixed line versus the mobile. I mean, I understand, obviously, there were these branding exercises. I understand there was those commercial activities, and there was some one-off, I mean, relatively small. I was nevertheless, I mean, also I understand, especially on the mobile side, on the mobile margins, we could see some pressure on the fixed line. I was wondering why EBITDA margins did not improve more, as you know, especially corporate data revenue, you know, was good. I thought that quite a lot of the other mobile operators were going to upgrade some of their transmissions, and part of the transmission cost will go back in your revenue for you and therefore help on the fixed line margin. So I was wondering if it's something you anticipate in the future, or is there anything, you know, I may have missed there. And the second question is, I just wanted to get a bit of a feedback as well on your promotion. So I understand that there's been, you know, I think the three mobile operators put some promotions to try to kick up data usage. And I believe the one put by Avea is mostly towards the postpaid segment. I think you gave like 10 gigabyte free for 1 month, if I remember. I was wondering, what do you think? I mean, do you see sign of data usage really picking up? And also, in terms of the take-up of subscribers, how do you read the fact that, in fact, the postpaid increase in Q1 has not increased more than, in fact, the prepaid, despite the promotion? Thank you.
Okay. Hakan, do you want to start with the second question?
So, basically, let me start with the first part of your second question. The first part of your second question is, we have been focusing on stimulating data usage in the market, and also naturally, not only Türk Telekom, it's Türk Telekom, by the way, not Avea, we are Türk Telekom, and we are very proud of being one brand, single brand, unified brand. So what Türk Telekom was offering in the market was for stimulating data usage. We were doing it in a couple of forms, for example, a gigabyte for every 4.5G SIM card change, or 10 gigabyte for some of our customers, or X gigabyte for minimum amount of money. Similarly, our competition was also doing the same, but this is very natural because 4.5G is a new chapter in Turkey. So what all operators are consistently doing is giving some opportunity for the consumers to taste consuming data. Because with the increased speed in mobile network especially, the data appetite of consumers and the data usage of consumers are increasing. By giving them a chance to experience and to use it, we are better understanding our customers so that in the coming weeks, we will be able to offer them customized offers. And also our competitors are doing for that reason. Those customized offers will be generating much higher ARPUs than today. So this is the commercial reason. The second part of your question is prepaid, postpaid. Let's please not underestimate our performance on postpaid. Our performance on postpaid might be less than our performance on prepaid, but this doesn't mean that our postpaid performance is very good. I think it's outstanding performance on the postpaid side as well in the market. So that's number one. Number two, we focused on larger data content for prepaid tariffs, especially in Q1, and the strength of our offers led to an increase in our prepaid base. But at the same time, we delivered 10% year-on-year prepaid ARPU increase. As you know, in Turkey, we are the leader in prepaid ARPU in mobile business, and we increased year-on-year 10% our ARPU, which I think is a significant achievement. And prepaid for us is a chance because we are the market share-wise. Today, we are the third operator. This doesn't mean we are going to stay the third operator, but today we are the third operator. By offering strong prepaid to our customers, we are giving them a chance to experience our network and to see how our upgraded network now performs so that we can immediately turn them to a postpaid subscriber and make them stay for longer periods for us. And of course, this is a very strategic move for us as well. For the first question,
thank you, Hakan.
I will hand you over to our CFO, Murat.
Thank you, Hakan. So, in fact, we have a substantial take-up of data revenues in the first quarter, which is on the back of the transmission revenues and data products as well. While we have been very aggressive on the LTE rollout, as well, we had been quite substantially advanced in the fiber connectivity to the sites. So we have 70% of our LTE sites connected with up to gigabit connections of fiber. We believe LTE is just taking up, and the speeds and the usage and the load per site will evolve throughout time, and the operators are assessing the load and the optimization and which kind of speeds they will choose in the upcoming periods. And we are confident that this will be a differentiation factor either on the retail or for the needs of the operators on an upcoming future.
Maybe a follow-up question. I mean, have you, during Q1, have you accelerated maybe the fiber within the network that may have increased the cost, especially on the installation cost, you know, within the network for, you know, obviously the LTE base station, but also within, you know, the transmission network? And is it one element that has happened as well that may explain, some softness of the margin in the fixed line segment?
These goes mostly to the CapEx, so the investments line, so that doesn't boil into the OpEx or to the margins on the consolidated level. So we have incurred, of course, investments to the both transmission network, while the load mostly on the transmission network increases coming from the fixed broadband customers take up an increase of their data usage. So a single customer in the fixed broadband is using about 60 gigabytes, and we reached close to 8.2 million customers. Therefore, the big chunk of the load is on our transmission backhaul is coming from the fixed broadband product line. And mobile is not representing anything more than a fraction of this load.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for your answers. Thanks.
Thank you, Hervé. I mean, I'd like just to mention, I mean, just to keep things clear, the U900 started in December of last year, and LTE 4.5G started in April 1st. So just to put the dynamics, you know, you'll see a lot of the dynamics with the LTE launch in Q2 as well.
Yes. So it's mostly H1, obviously, on the margins, likely to be softer, but H2 really catching up, I mean, I guess, is the expectation on your side.
I mean, we're confident with the annual guidance for sure. That's I can assure you. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hervé.
And your next question comes from Dalibor Vavruska. Please go ahead.
You seem to be successful in terms of gaining these subscribers, and I'm just wondering what sort of market share gains you are aiming at. Because if your strategy is successful with the bundling and all the unique attributes, it seems that you will start gaining market share, you'll be successful. Would you expect at some point the competitors to come back aggressively and try to fight you on price if they don't have other, you know, in your view, they may be weaker in terms of differentiation? So that's my first question. The second, actually, I have one technical question, which is whether you can share the number of fiber-connected base stations of all base stations out of Turk Telecom mobile base stations rather than just the LTE base stations. And the third question is just briefly, I think you mentioned the three markets where you think infrastructure competition works well in Japan, South Korea, and U.S., and they have high broadband penetration. I'm wondering whether you or the independent experts believe that it's actually the penetration or the usage of broadband is high because of infrastructure competition, or is just other reasons like demand that you mentioned as well. Thank you.
Dalibor, I mean, I don't know what sort of pickup will make you use language that without the word seem to be successful. We are very proud of what we have done, and we believe that the acquisition is very successful. Now, in terms of competition and on price, I mean, I can tell you one thing. We are extremely happy with and comfortable with our positioning right now. We are going to lead this market comfortably, and we believe that we are ready for a potential price competition, but that's not the game we are playing. I mean, we are successful without seem to be because we are integrating ourselves, because we have been able to offer a one-stop shop and really offer a truly convergent offerings to our and services to our customers through that one-stop shop, and that is starting to pay off. I mean, we finished our one-stop shop model in late January, beginning February, and the ability to upsell, cross-sell, and be able to provide multi-play or at a bare minimum quadruple play is really picking up, and that is where we see ourselves differentiated heavily from our competition. In terms of the infrastructure, I mean, if you look at any credible study, you'll see that there's a lag between demand and supply. And in Turkey, there is certainly no issues with supply, but the issue is really demand, and that is what these experts have confirmed, and I believe that is the consensus in the policy-making environment as well. So in terms of fiber-connected base stations, I don't think we have that number, but you know, maybe we can do that at a later stage. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star and one on your telephone keypad now. And your next question comes from Corey Pamir. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the presentation. Most of my questions has been answered. Two quick ones, if I may. First, should the current TL strengthen and continue or stay at these levels, would it have a tangible impact on your CapEx guidance? And secondly, regarding
Sorry to stop you. Can you repeat the question? I missed it.
Sure. Should the current TL strengthening against the dollar or against the euro continue, or should TL Turkish lira stay at the current levels, would that have an impact on your CapEx guidance? And secondly, regarding the smartphone penetration on your network, could you provide a numerical figure of what you are targeting for the end of 2016? Thank you.
Can we give guidance on the penetration? We can. Okay. So I'll park the second question for you, Murat. But on the smartphone penetration, we can't give guidance, unfortunately. But I can tell you that we are, in the past, as a challenger with quite a bit of a disadvantage on the spectrum, etc. We are very proud that we have a significant differentiator when it comes to penetration on smartphone or the postpaid mix as well. And we would like to maintain that edge, and we are very eager to grow it and to maintain at least that gap. So we have actually widened the gap over the last couple of years, and we do not expect ourselves to slow down in that area, and we are doing all the concerted effort to ensure that. When it comes to your first question, the Turkish lira strengthening maybe effect on CapEx.
Sure.
Maybe before you start, Murat, I just would like to say, I mean, our CapEx guidance is fair, and we believe that we have done, unlike last year, we have done an acceleration of CapEx because of the LTE launch and because of our strategy, and we wanted to make sure that we really differentiate ourselves. And I can tell you comfortably that our coverage because of that when it comes to LTE or even for 3G and U900 as well is really differentiating us versus our competition when it comes to coverage, when it comes to speed, when it comes to any of the metrics that we'd like to lead. We are very comfortable with that, and we believe that the CapEx strategy of acceleration for the year has been quite helpful. Murat, maybe you can discuss the TL impact.
Yeah, sure. So when we were providing the guidance to the market, we were pretty much aware of the market stabilization around dollars. So we have given a guidance of 3.2 billion Turkish lira, which was equal to $1.1 billion at that time.
So our CapEx, broadly 60% of it is in hard currency, and about 50% in dollars, 10%, 15% in euros. So Turkish lira appreciation against dollar will positively affect our cash flows. However, the current levels are not dramatically different than our budgetary levels. So if Turkish lira continues to appreciate, that may have a positive impact.
Thank you.
Thank you, Koray.
And your next question comes from Yavuz Bridal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I would like to learn your net debt target for the year end after all these dividend payments and the CapEx expectations. And the other question is, when I look the first quarter, it seems that your FX gains should have been higher, but because of hedging costs, you reported lower than people's estimates. So would you comment on your hedging costs for the quarter and going forward? If the currency stays at these levels, should we expect similar hedging costs from you? So that could be a good color.
Hedging costs are better than mix.
Let me address the second part of your question. Hedging costs, we have about $1 billion converted into euros from the beginning of the quarter. And secondly, we have Turkish lira for $500 million of liabilities. So the effectiveness of the hedge is showing that we have actually have done a good job against the dollars. So we see an increase in the MTM last year, and we see a decrease in the MTM. So the change in the market-to-market value of the hedge is the what we reflect to the P&L, and we don't carry them in equity. But in Q1, there were two moves. One of them is euro appreciation against dollars, which created a MTM loss on those hedges. So this initiative that we have done, therefore, had moved against the FX movements in the right way, but slightly in the high. If the currency remains stable, there will not be a substantial FX hedge losses in the remaining part of the year. So the sensitivity of us is both against euro-dollar parity and also against dollar-Turkish lira parity. And I can say that what made the most of the movement in the first quarter was euro-dollar hedges for the protection, and secondly, the interest rate swaps that had been unwinded. So that is more or less the framework. On the leverage standpoint, we are actually doing quite a stable leverage, and we are pretty confident with the current levels. We will have two installments of the license payments this year, so they will have a temporary impact on the leverage and net debt levels. However, on the long term, we believe that it will be stabilized at the current levels.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star and one on your telephone keypad now.
Operator, if there are no further questions, we can close the Q&A session.
Okay, thank you, guys. There are no further questions at this stage.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, everyone. This ends our call today.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's call. Thank you very much for your participation. You may now disconnect.